All right, so the Leafs spoke today. A bunch of players were speaking over Zoom. That is our current reality. Hopefully it won't be the case next year. Hopefully we can get back to podiums and back in the dressing room and the whole nine. But we are welcome now, and we're happy to have him on. Here is the GM of the Maple Leafs, Kyle Dubas. How you doing, Kyle?
Not bad, guys. How are you?
Good,
we're doing okay. You know, we were discussing the group and their tone earlier today, and it sounded somewhat somber, which I think would be understandable, but how would you sum up your emotions now that you look back on the season?
I think it's always a difficult thing to do right after, and you know, I think when you do it so soon after, you focus on certainly the disappointment of how the season ended and when it ended. I guess we're in the middle of August. It's been a strange season, but when it ended in terms of, you know, these qualifier rounds and our expectation that, and we should have gone much further. So the disappointment certainly rules your thinking. I do think there was progress in some areas, but we still have to take much more, and that obviously falls to me and to work with Sheldon and continue to get us going in the right direction here.
Well, Brendan Shanahan said today, in some ways you've taken a step back. Which ways would those be?
Well, I think technically the first round of the playoffs are on right now, and we're not in them. So, you know, regardless of the circumstances or of the pandemic and so on and so forth, we're not there. I think results-wise throughout the regular season, you know, last year, even though I thought the series against Boston, we were much better than the year before in terms of the number of points we ended up with in the year, we did take a step back that way. And this year, I think, though, things were significantly better from late November on. You know, it's disappointing not to be playing here. So I think you have to be realistic and say, yes, this is, you know, this is not where we want to be, and it's not where we envision ourselves being.
Kyle, I'm paraphrasing, but Jake Muzzin, Morgan Rielly both had a couple comments that I wanted to know if they were concerning for you, as far as, you know, we need to learn to work harder and to dig in at critical times. When you hear that from leaders in your room, is it a growing process, or is it something that's concerning that needs to be addressed with the whole group?
Yeah, I think, you know, Jamie, we've been very transparent, I think, publicly and with the players about it. I term it more as a mindset more than work ethic. I actually thought that, you know, one of the real positives and areas of strong progress that we saw, and I talked about this before we resumed play, and I didn't know what the short term effect of it was going to be, but certainly in the long term, was that the work ethic and the conditioning and the commitment of the guys during the phase two, the voluntary phase, and phase three, the training camp phase, were the best that I had seen in my time here, just in terms of their commitment to the group, the amount of work they were putting in, everything they were doing at the facility, I thought was a real strong sign and will be in the future. I think when talking to both of those guys before they departed, I think you can term it as work ethic, you can term it as digging in. I think it's when you're up in games, and I think they were referencing directly that I would probably say this is a direct reference to the third game of the series, where we're up 3-0, the series is tied at 1, and we have a chance to really take control of the series, and we get up in the game 3-0, and you know, they scored a goal at the end of their penalty kill, or at the end of our penalty kill. It was kind of scrambled, the defenseman coming back on the ice, and they made a nice play. That's going to happen. But then once that happens, being able to continue to play our game and not give them anything, to have our minds in a place is that we're going to just continue to play our game defensively as we had been through the first period and a half of that game. And as they took chances, it was going to come for us. And so I think that's probably I haven't talked to them directly about the comments today, but I know in talking to them and to our players, that's been their biggest regret about the way that it went, and certainly something that we haven't done it. So we haven't closed out a series in the 4 years that we've been in the playoffs. So we have to do that to take that step, obviously, and I think that's what they would be referencing.
So how long do you wait on that, Kyle? Like the idea that all of a sudden the switch is going to be flipped. Like what if it can't be? Like what if they just don't have it in them? How do you make that decision?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question, Brian, and I think it's fair of all the media and the fan base to ask that, right, is how long do you wait? And I think the way that, as we talked about today, the way that we'll go through this is, you know, we just got back together for after, you know, yesterday, just everyone taking the day to themselves. We got back together today as a group here and started to go back through the whole season and the series and everything of that nature. And we'll do a full evaluation of whether we have that within us to do it. I certainly, you know, the question today was asked about our potential, and I think we've shown what the potential is, but it's going to be meaningless unless we close out series and do it consistently day in and day out through the regular season, put ourselves in a good spot going into the playoffs, and then don't continually put ourselves in the situations like in game three or where every series is going into a deciding game and we're closing them out early and we're not letting teams into the series in game one or two. And I thought last year in Boston we showed the beginnings of that on the road in Boston and then taking control of the series in game five, but then again in game six we got the lead at home, we couldn't close it out, and then obviously game seven there didn't go well at all. So I think it's a fair question and one that we're going to sit and evaluate. There's certainly not the feeling from my end that we have this figured out. It's just patience, and we just have to continue to wait on it because I don't know that that's right either. But we will certainly take the next few weeks here and then get into the off season and get to the bottom of it and adjust and set the team up to have success next year.
Kyle, the Tampa Bay Lightning decided to go out and get Gaudreau and Coleman. They thought they needed some more sandpaper. The big term of digging in has been thrown around here, even from some of your players. That's something I never hear you say. Are you just going to continue on the path where you believe in the skill and the speed, the on-ice vision, or is the digging in element that's just not your ball game and you're going to continue on the track that you believe can have success?
Yeah, I understand the question, Jeff, but I think the players that we've traded for in my time here have been, you know, Jake Muzzin, who I certainly think adds to the digging in factor, and Kyle Clifford, who I certainly think adds to that. I would like our group to be an extremely competitive group. I think, you know, what we're trying to get to is to balance it all out. I think we know we can be a top offensive team. I thought we took some strides this year defensively that, you know, in terms of the way that we played and made some improvements there, not near to the point that we want to get to. So I don't want people to construe that the wrong way. I think we have a long ways to go that way. And a lot of that, I think, is a byproduct of the things that you mentioned, whether it's digging in or mindset or focus or whatever you want to call it. I think that that's where we're going to get that from, and I think that will lead people to think about our group differently in terms of their competitiveness or grit or whatever you want to call it. But I know that what the perception is, I get and I understand, I certainly think that with our moves so far, and I think the moves that we'll continue to take are ones that will show that that we value that properly.
With Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Leafs, with all that being said, you know, mindset and pushing forward and a belief in the group, every team, even cup winners, they have turnover. And you guys, just based on the standings, as you said earlier today, you guys were just in the middle of the pack. How do you add to this group? How do you improve on this group? And you indicated today you have more cap room than the general public is willing to give you credit. But you don't have a first-round pick this year. Mm-hmm. So how do you, because at some point you're going to have to turn some of the roster over naturally, and I'm sure you're hoping to improve on that. How much wiggle room do you have, and how much can we reasonably expect this offseason?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real different offseason, Brian, just because of the circumstances that are facing everybody in the league right now. If it's not cap space, it's certainly going to be budget and not knowing what the league is going to really look like next year yet. And we're only in the first round of the playoffs now. So, you know, it's tough to project what that's going to look like. And so I think the thing that I like about the way that we're constructed purely on our ability to make moves is that I don't think any of the contracts that we have are prohibitive in terms of not only being able to move if we feel that there's a good move for us, but also being able to return full value on them in terms of things that we may feel we need to fill other needs that we don't have filled yet. You know, we've got the two guys coming in from Europe, Barabanov and Letnin, and you know, I know they may be, you know, those are always, there's a little bit of wild card element to them, but we think that they'll be able to come in and help us in different areas. And we don't have the same, certainly not the same as last year in terms of the players we need to re-sign. So I think it allows us to be flexible and going into it with a very, very open mind about what may be available in the market. And, you know, starting here in the next few days, I'll start to round to the general managers of other teams that are eliminated, whether they're part of the seven that didn't return or the group of eight that have fallen off this week, and kind of get a sense for where they're at and see if there may be a fit for the things that we're looking to do. I think, you know, as we've shown in the past, I don't think we're going to sit still. We're going to try to continually improve the group and roll from there. So I think, you know, we do have a little bit of cap space, and then we do have contracts that I think appeal to other teams. So we'll be able to find ways to improve our team if we think the deals make sense.
I would say the position of focus in this town, you know, more often than not, has been the defense corps. I'm sure you're aware of that. And the way I look at it, I think I can speak for Owen Noodles, I see Riley as a top four guy. I see Muzzin as a top four guy. I don't see another guy currently on the roster as a top four defenseman on a cup caliber team. I don't know if you would agree or disagree with that. I guess you can answer that. But if you agree with me, how do you go and find two more guys? How do you find two more top four defensemen when a lot of teams are looking for it?
Yeah, I think the supply is not overly high and the demand always is, right? You know, I thought this year, certainly it's always easier to gain public affection or the affection of the media if they're household names that fill those roles. But as I look at a lot of the teams now, and specifically the teams that are playing very well to start this tournament off, they've you know, they don't necessarily have that same element in their top four that I think everybody would like us to have. And I think Justin Hall this year took a step. I don't think he's going to fit the public definition of what you're referencing, Brian, but I would say, especially when he was paired with Muzzin, and even in the playoffs once Jake went out, I thought he did a very good job throughout the whole season against other teams' top players, and it wasn't an easy task for him, especially as a guy that was scratched 72 times the year before. So I've got a lot of faith in him. He's re-signed for three more years, and then the reality on the rest of the situation is we need Travis Dermott to continue to take steps. He's still young. We've got Sandin and Lilligren coming, and I mean, the other part of it is whether it's through free agency or trade, we want to continue to look to upgrade the group and be unrelenting on that until we have a group that can help push us across the finish line.
Kyle, you showed some frustration today in the narrative around Mitch Marner, and you made a point to talk about it. Just you know, tell us what your thought process was, you know, in regards to that response, and mm-hmm. what you thought of Mitch's play and where he's at overall.
Well, I mean, the thing about, I mean, the question today was, you know, it was asked, what kind of player do we really want him to become? And I just thought, you know, there aren't very many guys that, I mean, he got hurt this year. He still had nearly 70 points in under 60 games and was on, which would have put him on pace to have near 90 or over again. I don't know many guys that are that age that produce at that level that face criticism like that. You know, and you know, afterwards I'm told as well, people say it's, you know, they expect more from him at his cap hit. And I mean, that's not his problem. It's not the public's problem, his cap hit. And it's not a problem at all because of how he produces, but that's on me to manage. It's not on anyone else to worry about as much as they might. And I just find that for a local player that pours his heart out every single night for the Maple Leafs and every day that he's a part of our team and does more in our community than anybody on our team, and is our nominee for the King Clancy Award because of that, and how much he worked during phase two and phase three, and how badly he wants the Maple Leafs to succeed, and how he's willing to sacrifice and block shots and do everything it takes for the Leafs, to criticize Mitch Marner, to me, I think is crazy. And I think that the people who criticize him now will deeply regret it based on the way that he'll perform over the remaining term in his career as a Maple Leaf, which to me should be his entire career.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I think you're right about next year. You know, I said that before you came on. I think Marner's due for a big bounce back. I think the negotiation was a part of it, though, Kyle. I mean, It was you paid him a lot of money based on who he is, based on the comparables like Rantanen and Tkachuk and Braden Point, and naturally the fans are going to hold them to a number like that. I don't think that's unreasonable to expect a guy. I think he's the second highest winger in the league in terms of payment behind Panarin, and Panarin's up for a Hart this year. Why wouldn't the expectations be high?
Sure, I don't disagree with that, Brian. The one thing I would say, though, and I would caution on the comparable to those other players, is that those players only gave their teams 3 years and no unrestricted years, and Mitch did here. So I get it. I just think that you know, he still had a very, very good season. He had his first, you know, real injury with us, and I get that. I understand the when you look at those other players, but those players only signed, I think all of them signed 3 year deals or
Rantanen was six.
So we've got, you know, I get it. I understand the look and the comparable. I'm certain that a player like Mitch, and how much he cares, and with his talent level and with his work ethic and his tenacity, I'm 100% sure that next year and every year beyond, it won't even be a discussion about whether he's worth it. And I think it will be a deal that will look very favorably on us and him as it goes on. And I understand that people are going to say, well, of course you're going to say that, but I truly believe it with Mitch. I wouldn't publicly defend someone like this if I didn't 100% believe it. And I believe in Mitch Marner unequivocally.
Did you have a chance to meet with the players before they got out of town, Kyle, or was it just get out of here and we'll try to get in touch with you soon, or how do you deal with that? Do you even need to speak to them, or how does that process go?
Yeah, Jeff, we went back and forth on it because we had to exit the bubble and then they wanted everybody gone right away. It was right the next morning, like right after losing, I've been, you know, last year was my first year being around the team when we had lost. The previous 2 years I was happened to be with the Marlies when the Maple Leafs lost out. And so last year I saw the group after, and I really felt this year it was much different than the year before. I thought the guys were much more down and disappointed in themselves and the result this year. And I'm sure you've had that, and Jamie's had it and seen it as well. Different years bring out different emotions, and I think that this year was the most disappointed I'd seen them. And you guys have been through those exit meetings. If they're too soon, or if everyone hasn't gathered themselves, they can be useless to a point. So there were some players that I met with that I felt could handle the meeting, and then others we'll connect with over FaceTime. If they're local, we'll set up to meet with them here in the next week or so, and just kind of ensure that they know our expectations going into the summer and beyond.
With Kyle Dubas, so Freddie Anderson's going into his final year on his contract. Where does Freddie fit into the long-term plans with this team?
Yeah, I think we've got Fred and Zach Hyman will go in next year, Brian, and I think, you know, as we've got obviously decisions to make on not only them but everybody, and you know, we know we're not going to have the increase cap flexibility, and therefore, and when I mean flexibility, I mean there's not going to be growth to the cap. So every one of these decisions moving forward probably takes on a more pronounced importance to us and to the players as well. So I think in the cases of all these guys, the next couple of years that will be coming up, we'll probably have to take our time, have discussions with them about where they're at, what they're feeling, and about their place here and our feelings on them. But I think it's going to be tough to, you know, especially in our situation we have space, but you know, we don't have it in overabundance, and especially if things are going to be locked in for a couple of years with the cap, we're probably not going to be able to act as quickly as we would like to on some of these guys coming up, which I think will probably be common throughout the league for teams in our position, of which there are quite a few. So I think it'll probably be a slow going process, but we'll have that discussion with Fred and Claude Lemieux and Zach and Todd Reynolds here, just so that they know where we stand before we get into the summer and before next year.
Kyle, last year you kind of did, I guess it was from the top, even from Shanny, where they said, we'll do a forensic review of everyone in the organization. Is that the protocol again this summer? Is that the protocol, how you start to look towards, I guess, next season? You take a look at every area within the organization to see if you're happy with it or you need to tinker moving forward?
Yeah, that's what we started today, Jamie, so, you know, met with Shanny and then met with Sheldon, and, you know, I'm obviously not happy with the job that I've done here, and I'm disappointed in myself, and know that I have to be better and do better, and that will be the goal, right? And I don't think I can ask anybody else in our group to do that if I'm not willing to accept and do that myself. So I think it starts with me and evaluating myself, and then, you know, taking feedback from Shanny and various others on where I can improve. And then, you know, met with Sheldon today, and we went through the season once he came on and what we need to do in that realm. And then, you know, tomorrow we'll go through the whole rest of the organization and from the management team through to, you know, equipment, medical, performance, player development, and just kind of go back through the year that's lasted, you know, 11 months now, and see where we've made progress and where we need to be better.
Speaking of your coach, before we let you go, it sounded like the players, you know, enjoy playing for him, feel like he communicates well, and are excited about the possibility of, you know, playing for him in the future. Is that necessary? Is that important for you to hear that type of, I don't know if it's praise or just assessment of the players, mm-hmm. when it comes to Sheldon Keefe?
Well, I think the thing that that's good to hear about is that Sheldon, I certainly, in my observation, wasn't easy on the players either, Brian. So, you know, for them to say that, knowing that it wasn't just always, you know, it wasn't always positive in terms of, you know, the feedback and the pushing he was giving them. If he felt they had more to give, he was asking it from them very directly. I think, you know, the way that he communicates and backs up what he's saying with his preparation was, you know, probably what they were referring to. And I think it was good to see that, and also not just publicly, but, you know, privately in the discussions that we've had with some of them. That certainly is true. And, you know, they appreciate how transparent he was with them when they didn't reach the standard that he expected, but that he also had them a way to that they could improve. You know, it's not just, you know, you're not doing this well and it's not going to work. It was, you're not doing this well and here's how I need you to fix it if you're going to play the role that you want to play for our team. So it was a very strange year to be your first year as a head coach, taking over in the middle of the year, and then, you know, having this de facto training camp but no exhibition, then right into, or one exhibition game and then right into the playoffs. I'm excited to go through the off season with Sheldon and get ready to go for next year.
Well, we look forward to seeing what you guys have in store over the off season. These ones after a season like this can be tough and not always easy, but we appreciate you taking time, as always.
Perfect,
for doing
guys.
It down the road. Thank you, Kyle.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a great day.
There's Kyle Dubas, the GM of the Leafs. So, there's a lot to unravel there, and we'll get into it. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, into the 5 p.m. hour. Jerry's Percentages at 5:25. We threw a lot at him, and I think he answered honestly, and he answered, you know, in a way that I'm sure people are going to have different reactions to, but we'll come back and we'll discuss it.
Yeah, we'll see what goes on in the offseason, how they can add to, I mean, CeCe's probably out the door, Barry's gone, mm-hmm. How the whole team's going to shape up.
Right.
But I think that's what he was talking about, where you got some flexibility. You got CeCe's $4 million that come off the books, Barry's $2.5 million. I mean, we'll get into it.